Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Coming up, we'll hear from John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Now it's time to hear from our regular guest, John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. Well, John, April is over and May is here. And for the Giants, I mean, I guess you turn the page on the calendar and it's really important to them because they played poorly in April. They had injuries, especially the Madison Bumgarner injury. And now in the month of May, the first game at least, they played well in L.A. They beat Clayton Kershaw. So is this calendar change really something that is going to, you know, be true to form where, you know, forget about April? Are the Giants really looking that much brighter in the month of May because now that they've beaten Kershaw, do they get a lot of confidence out of that to start a 9-game road trip?
Well, any team wants an edge in any fashion the team can, you know, put in their minds. In other words, after a rotten homestand, they say, well, thank goodness we're going on the road. After a lousy road trip, oh, thank goodness we're going home. After a lousy April, oh, thank goodness it's May. But they have a lot of reason to turn the page. The fact that they got Christian Arroyo and Michael Morse on this last homestand, but still couldn't put together more wins than losses, including they couldn't wipe out the Padres, and the Padres are supposed to be the worst team in the division. So there was all kinds of reasons to move forward, and one of the things they wanted to turn the page on is being station to station. 16 home runs in April, and only one team had fewer. I mean, the kid across the bay, Chris Davis, had 10.
Almost as many, yeah.
So he was. I'm wondering who's going to have more home runs by the end of the year, the Giants or Chris Davis? I mean, that's how bad it is. I mean, Belt had 4. And nobody else had more than 2. And a couple of those guys who had 2 were Arroyo and Bumgarner.
Right.
So I think Crawford was the only guy with 2. So they were in need of an extra base hit or 2 or 3. And they got it big time with Pence, and they got it big time with Posey.
Yeah, and I don't think that it's a concern for a whole season to think that those guys aren't going to drive in runs or hit home runs. But, I mean, you go through a whole month and Posey, yeah, he was on the concussion DL for a little bit there. But to have 1 home run and 3 RBIs while he's hitting around 340, that was kind of strange. And, yeah, and even Pence, you know, not hitting home runs. So it's almost like a monkey off their back. And to do it against Kershaw again, I mean, Kershaw, he throws that nasty breaking ball. Pence hits it out of the ballpark. And that was a pretty good pitch to Posey. It looked like a cutter in. He drills it out. And, I mean, he saw the reaction of Kershaw. He was really mad at himself. It almost looked like when he gave up that hit to Ty Block at AT&T Park, when he was really mad at himself. And, you know, so there's this psychological edge maybe the Giants got right there.
Yeah, and I think Kershaw might have left the pitches up a little more than he wanted in each case. That's my guess.
Yeah.
You know, looking at the pitches over and over, maybe not exactly where he wanted them.
Right.
That ball to Posey was in and kind of in his wheelhouse, and it seemed like he didn't get the right break on the pitch to Pence. And those are two guys who are in desperate need of clearing the fences more than once or twice or 3 times per week. And the Giants just haven't gotten that. And, you know, there's a lot of media ripping Posey right now, saying that he's not driving in runs. Well, RBIs are all about opportunities to start with. But on the other hand, the man got beamed by, what, a 94-mile-per-hour fastball,
right,
whatever it was, and he missed a week. I was thinking he would miss more. I was thinking he wasn't going to catch for quite a while. Put Belt at left field, put Posey at first base, and the man came back. He came back in a hurry. He came back after a week, and he DH'd a couple times in Kansas City, and then in Denver you saw him behind the plate. So it's sort of hard to knock a guy who got a concussion or at least symptoms of a concussion in the first month of the season. In fact, the first inning of the first home game of the season. So that had to play itself out. So to knock him, for not many RBIs, or knock him for not a whole lot of pop, I would suggest anyone who would condemn him for that, try it yourself. It's not that easy to get in a box at any level and, kind of concerned about your safety, kind of concerned about that high and tight cheese, kind of concerned about your health, and to turn it around, getting back in the box, right, mentally, emotionally, and overcoming that fear. I mean, obviously he has no fear, but it's, tentativeness or, you just got to wipe it out of your mind. And, that takes time, no matter how good a player is, including Posey. So I think he'll be fine over the long haul. And I'm more impressed than I am, critical because of how fast he got in the lineup.
We'll have more with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I guess they should have hired me for that TV commercial. No, I don't think so. But seriously, in San Francisco, it's really true. In fact, AT&T Park has a good neighbor right around the corner. That's right, Sandy Lee State Farm is a Buster Posey home run away from AT&T Park at 188 South Park Street on the corner of 3rd Street. Sandy Lee has been my State Farm agent for 10 years, and I have to tell you, when I've made claims, Sandy Lee gave me peace of mind, which is what we all need when it comes to insurance. Whether it's car, home, or even earthquake insurance, Sandy Lee and her team are down-to-earth, devoted, and understanding. They take control of any situation, and you never feel like you're being sold something. Give Sandy Lee State Farm a call at 415-227-9833. That's 415-227-9833 for Sandy Lee State Farm. Something that the Giants really needed was a jolt to their offense, and Christian Arroyo certainly has provided that. And I want to get into the story that you wrote. It was a great story about his mom teaching him how to play the game. But before we get into that, just what he's been able to accomplish so far, because there was talk about, do you want to keep him in the minor leagues for a while? Let him dominate that level. There was the need for him to play for the Giants with everything going on and with Crawford going down. There's that need to have him in there, and he's hot. Why not give him the chance? And, as it turns out, I mean, it's really working out well, and it looks like he's just here to stay, doesn't it?
It's funny. I was working on a story about, asking the question, when do you call up the hot prospect, the next best thing?
Mm-hmm.
When was the right time to call up Will Clark or Buster Posey or even Brandon Crawford, who may or may not have been rushed to the major leagues? And this is the next best thing, the next great prospect to come along. And I was all ready to write this story because I thought that he would not be called up so soon. Everybody I talked to with the Giants or the decision makers, they had no intention to call him up so soon, but the team was just playing so rotten and everything was going so poorly for them, and if people weren't getting hurt, that they just weren't hitting, or they weren't pitching, or they weren't defending, nothing seemed to work. So this guy down there was hitting nearly 500, squaring up everything, hitting the long ball after only hitting 3 home runs last year in Double A. So
right,
it's amazing how over 1 year the progress he has made, including in spring training on. So I had to ditch that story because, you know, the A's also have a shortstop in AAA who's knocking on the door. So there were parallels. Anyway, so that story is not going to appear because they called up the kid. But you know, when doing these interviews, you know, one of the guys who makes decisions, been in the game forever, you know, Dick Tidrell. I asked him, you know, what can you say about him? How do you know he's ready? And he said the thing on him is he's almost always hitting the ball hard. It's always contact. It's always hard contact. And at any level, if you can do that, you know, the chances are, you know, you're giving the defense, you know, less time to react. You're putting pressure on the pitcher. And this is a guy who's just a good contact hitter and makes hard and loud contact. And that's all he did in AAA in Sacramento. So he was, obviously he was ready. There's no question about it now. But it's just amazing how every single day he has contributed in some way that is not reflected in the box score. If you remember the first day, all he did, and he tried to do this, he said afterward, was hit the ball to the right side with the runner on second. And, you know, it was a ground out. The second baseman threw him out. Okay? Well, that's not going to show up in the box score other than an 0 for 1. But he moved the guy over. Next guy sacrificed fly. And, you know, they win the ball game. So it's little things that he does as a baseball player. And Joe Panik told me he's a ball player. And that's the biggest compliment I can give him. I mean, he's smart. He's wise beyond his years. He's 21 going on 28. And he's doing all the things they need. And that's, you know, as you saw in the opener of this Dodgers series, he's batting second, and he batted fifth. I was talking with Posey the other day, and he joked to me. I asked him, I said, any comparisons, any memories of 2010? When you were called up, you know, your first week, how did that go? He said, he was joking. He wasn't complaining. He said, I just don't remember hitting that high in the lineup so soon.
Right.
And
right.
I also didn't hit any home runs in my first week.
No, that usually doesn't happen. I mean, especially for a kid who's 21. I mean, you saw that his approach, even when I saw him in San Jose and anybody who watched him there, he had a really good approach just a couple of years ago thinking, okay, he's 19 and, you know, he's got a ways to go in the minor leagues if he can dominate at each level. But, I mean, to me, he looks so ready and he's just going to stick. But you always wonder, even if you go back to Willie Mays, I'm sure you're really familiar with that whole story about 1951 when he came up. And, I mean, there was a question about whether or not Leo DeRocher should have him up with the New York Giants, and Leo really wanted Willie to come up, and Willie was saying, no, I don't think I'm ready. And then as it turned out, I think he went, what, 0 for 24 or something like that to start his career. I mean, this is the opposite. This kid comes up, and Arroyo's hitting right away, so it's making the Giants look great.
No, you're right. And it's, you're saying Willie Mays, I would say Buster Posey, no matter who you say, but Mays is a perfect example. I mean, he was called up, you know, at the ripe old age of 20, and you know, just 4 years after Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier, and you know, he was perfectly content playing in Minneapolis, you know, in the minor leagues. He was fine there. The fans liked him, and he liked playing there. It was comfortable. You know, he was showing his stuff. He had no dreams of getting to the big league so quickly, but. Yeah, Leo DeRocher calls him up, and I think he was 0 for 12, and then he hit the home run off Warren Spahn, and then went into another funk after that. And I think Arroyo was hitting in the 400s, in the high 400s, and so was Mays in Minneapolis. So there are parallels. You know, and this is what Bobby Evans said over and over. This guy had to force the issue. We don't want to call him up to fill somebody's spot who's hurt. We don't want to call him up to see what he can do over a week or two. We want to call him up to keep him up.
Right.
And, you know, it doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter if we're winning or losing or we have a spot or don't have a spot. When he forces the issue, he's going to force himself into the lineup to stay. And the stars aligned, and he did it in a hurry.
Yeah, I mean, it was early You know, a lot of people didn't think that was going to happen in the month of April for Christian Arroyo, but here he is. And what a great story. I think probably the most unique part of it is the story that you wrote, John, about his mom, because how many major league players can credit their mom with teaching them the game and how to hit and all that? I mean, really, his mom deserves a lot of credit, and this is a story that you kind of unearthed because nobody had heard about this. It's a really cool story to find out about that, and how unique is that in your mind?
No, thanks, Joe. I wanted to write something about him toward the end of the homestand, and I said, well, you know, what better way to talk to somebody in the family, because the family was there all week, his little sister, his mother, his stepfather, his biological father was there the first day or two. The story behind Christian here is when he was 2 years old, the parents separated. And you know, Kim Drummond, his mother, was a single mom for about 10 years, from age 2 to about age 12 for Christian. So she was the one who taught him how to hit, how to play, how to defend. She was a pretty good athlete in her time, played a bunch of sports, including softball, you know, basketball, track, so field hockey. So she did a lot of things in high school. She's athletic. She knew the game, but she didn't know the finer points of the game, and this kid was pretty talented. So I first talked to Christian, and I said, well, what does she mean to you? And there was no stopping him. He went on and on. I mean, she meant everything. Taught me how to hit, taught me how to play, introduced me to the game, was there every step of the way. And I'm thinking, boy, what a great Mother's Day story, and we're not even close to Mother's Day.
Right.
Coming soon, but this is, I'll beat him to the punch and write it before Mother's Day. So anyway, and then Christian says, so she went out and got a copy of the Ted Williams book, The Science of Hitting. And, you know, read a page, taught it to me, read another page, taught it to me. And I said, who does that? And he says, well, my mom does, super mom. And I said, oh, this is too good to be true. So I went to the mother. She was there all week, and I spoke with her at length. It was a great atmosphere because no one was in the park. The Giants were taking early batting practice, and Christian is in the cage, and I'm talking to his mother, Kim, about him. You know, wonderful conversation, and yeah, that's you know, she kind of got emotional and almost teary-eyed when I repeated the quotes to her, and you know, her later told me her heart almost melted because of the neat things that he said about her, and she's saying, you know, she's thinking, well, it's not about getting credit. He's just my boy, you know. It's not anything more than that. But for Christian, it really was. I mean, she was there. She was the, you know, the adult figure, the sole adult figure in his life during the years that he fell in love with baseball. And Kim even joked that, you know, so she remarries when he is about Christian's about 12. And you know, right? You know, shortly thereafter, you know, she was joking that you know, when she was 8 months pregnant with Christian's younger sister, you know, Kim was out on the field helping Christian,
right.
You know, improve his baseball talents. So it's a great story, you know, Christian. Yeah, I got a little picture of them together at the batting cage posing, and it worked out pretty nice. But anytime anyone says that the mother goes out and buys or the father, you know, this The Science of Hitting by, you know, Ted Williams, who, you know, hasn't played in you know, half a century or whatever it is, or more, far more than that, then I said, boy, that's a great story. And it wasn't just the Ted Williams book. You know, she went out and she attended clinics. She was always there listening to coaches, you know, speak. The crazy baseball mom is what she described herself as. You know, went out and got the Cal Ripken instructional book or two and other how-to books and videos, and went to clinics and pretty much devoted her life to him. And now it's just, in her words, surreal.
That really is amazing. You know what you're going to see in every Giants player's locker is a copy of that book, The Science of Hitting. Ted Williams actually looked it up. It's $10 on Amazon, I believe. $10. That'd be $250 for the entire roster to have that book in their locker. I think Bam Bam needs to go buy that book.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I got a couple of copies, and one of them has the sticker, the original price of $1.95.
More with John Shea in just a moment. Do you want to go to the perfect restaurant and bakery before a Giants game? Why not go to the place where Matt Cain ate before he threw his perfect game? That's Townsend Restaurant and Bakery. It's true, I'm not making this up. On June the 13th, 2012, Matt Cain had a great meal at Townsend, then took the mound down the road at AT&T Park and tossed the first perfect game in Giants history. Your meal can be just as effective after you choose one of their homemade sourdough English muffins, scones, and breads. Townsend also serves cage-free Petaluma eggs. For 26 years, Townsend has been capturing the spirit of San Francisco with consistent quality from their family-run business. Serving breakfast and lunch Tuesday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 2 p.m., and brunch on Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., Townsend is located right along the Embarcadero at 2 Townsend Street in San Francisco. Eat at Townsend Restaurant and Bakery, and who knows, perhaps you can be perfect that day too. To finish up part one of our podcast, I also wanted to mention that, you know, Michael Morse comes up, and he gave the Giants a jolt as well, and I don't think he's going to hit for average, but, you know, he comes up there, and it's a home run right away against the Dodgers, that game-tying home run. It was dramatic for him. I mean, he's an emotional-type guy. You know, is he the kind of guy who also, you think, is going to give them a season-long jolt of energy?
That's a great question. For a guy who sat out pretty much all of last year and always seemed to be putting pictures on social media of him and his family on a boat somewhere,
right,
you would think that he wouldn't be playing baseball again. And sure enough, he goes to Hunter Pence's wedding and gets an invite for a tryout at spring training. He says, okay, I'm there, I'm good. And then slowly but surely, he started getting his timing down in the spring and became a guy that the Giants said, well, shoot, we could use this guy off the bench as a right-handed guy with pop, because we didn't have it last year. We certainly don't have it anywhere else. And then he got hurt late in spring, but then he worked himself back in a rehab assignment. And sure enough, he becomes who he was in the NLCS in 14 with the pinch homer to left field and the long wingspan after he hits the home run in celebration. It almost looked like the same swing and the same jog around the bases.
Yeah.
It was eerie. But over the long haul, that's a great question, because he's not a good defensive player.
No.
As you saw in the Monday opener.
No.
He fielded a ground ball, but he made a bad throw to second. Maybe if Belt is there and Crawford is there, they turn a double play and the Dodgers don't get a run that inning. But they were so desperate for somebody who could hit the long ball. And they're kind of putting defense aside. Well, they certainly were Monday, because Belt didn't start. He doesn't hit Kershaw, so he wasn't in the lineup. And so it was an inferior lineup, and that's kind of an issue, because for a team that doesn't score runs, you better rely on pitching and defense. So it's kind of a fine line they've got here. And it'd be great for them if he could be that guy, maybe one start a week, if that. But always available off the bench, always available to pinch hit,
mm-hmm.
Because he certainly is not trying to, hit an opposite field single. He's trying to hit a 500 feet every
exactly.
single swing.
Absolutely. He is definitely trying to do that. And they need that, though. They need a guy to come off the bench that has experience that can deliver that kind of punch, don't you think?
Well, absolutely. And they're not getting it with their lineup, and they're not getting it off the bench. And they were thinking Jared Parker, who hit some home runs in the spring, might be that guy to hit 20, right? Because
yeah.
they were the only team in the majors last year to have nobody hit 20. Pence has done it in the past. Crawford has done it in the past. Posey certainly has done it in the past. But nobody did it last year. And they figured, well, maybe we got somebody who's homegrown that we could throw out there on the cheap, and then he gets hurt. Parker does, and now they really have nobody. The outfield is a major issue, and it'll continue to be an issue until, with Span on the DL, injury issues again, and, you know, the one guy who looks healthier than last year is Pence, didn't have a great spring, but came out hitting early in April, and he's really a key guy in this lineup. If, you know, if he hits, I think it could start a trend in that lineup. I think other guys might follow suit, but, you know, he's getting up there in age. He's coming off a couple of seasons when he was in the trainer's room more than not, and it'd be wonderful for this team if that guy were in the lineup every day and actually produced. And you know, we saw it in the Monday opener that he actually did.
That's part one of our conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. Join us for part two on Wednesday. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.